Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to the Basically Famous podcast, where we're taking our notoriety to the mic and no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Wendy.
And I'm your host, Spencer. Each week, we talk about life's bullshit, our hot takes, and make one of you basically famous too.
Hey, ladies and gents or whoever.
Hi.
Hope y'all are doing well. It's Sunday. We just did a Patreon for our patrons. I wish I had some Patron. all the versions of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I gave a little preschool update, and Fisher's in a preschool, as some of you may know. I talked about that there. I talked about some of the, what?
What's wrong? Really got to get these labeled.
Yeah, we do. You got to turn it up. Yeah.
Nope. No. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Nope. Nope. There we go.
There we go.
Yellow.
Also, a moment for our old intro just played. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You say you know me. Nope.
Oh.
Pink.
Say you know me.
The song still slaps.
Slaps. Get ready to drop it.
I'm scared what you see.
I thought it was C. Dang. Oh.
So legendary, I'm perfect.
Wow, I already forgot the words.
Speaking of problems on Patreon, on Patreon, we got some secrets that got unleashed there. And we talked about some kids. We talked about preschool, all the things.
Spencer had a breakdown.
But you know what? I'm just glad it wasn't me this time. So thoughts and prayers, peace and blessings.
Do you really cry more than me?
I think so. Mm. I'm a crier. I cry over all.
Well, I'm a sympathy crier. So every time you cry, I cry because nobody cries alone in my presence.
So I'm a sympathy crier, but then I'm also a crier of life. Like, I've cried with clients. I swear to God, and a lot of my clients listen to this now, and they can vouch. I'm going to cry at least once a week with something either I'm telling them or I swear on my life, someone could be telling me a story about their kid, about whatever. And it could be something just totally like, I can't even give you an example. It happened this week and I'm just trying to think of it. And I can't, obviously, because my brain doesn't work. But I was like, literally had tears in my eyes and I was like holding my eyeballs really wide open. So the tear
I do that
fall.
Too. I'm because, like, where's a fucking fan when I need
right,
it? To
I was
just
like, oh my God, I was embarrassed. And I was just like, oh, like people will tell me stuff and I'm just like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm a crier. The older that I've gotten, becoming a mom made me a little bitch.
I cry. Used to, and granted, like I had some damage and I've definitely like grown as a person and worked through some of my stuff. Mm-hmm. But I used to, my friends would be like, she's literally cold as ice. Like she could watch
You're as cold as ice.
She could watch somebody die in the street and not shed a tear. Like sick, like a psychotic level of just no emotion. And now I feel like in comparison, I am so emotional and I cry all the time.
Same,
but I really think it's a hormonal thing. My hormones are also like so out of whack from the PCOS, especially compared to like when I was younger. And so I think I blame it on that.
That's probably it. Yeah.
I blame it on that. But I am more sensitive than I used to be. I think I used to compartmentalize a lot better. And so like I could just close things off and now I'm not as good.
We're grown-ups. We like to face the music. Whether or not we want to or not, we just do it anyway. So
more
empathetic,
more sensitive. So
and also I think
more.
When life happens, it's like your heart starts to like get torn open a little, just a little bit, and you start feeling things. Things seep in through it.
It gets a little more delicate.
It does, because we're getting older. We're almost 40, so that's just what happens to the heart. The heart wants what it wants.
The heart wants what it wants. What is
who's saying that? Christina Aguilera?
Demi Moore. No, Demi Moore. Demi Lovato.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was it.
I think you're right. Yeah, Demi Moore. Is it Demi or Demi? Can she just make up her mind?
Who fucking knows?
Do we like her? We don't like her.
We don't
She's
like
kind
her.
Of annoying.
We don't like either Demi.
She's a share wannabe.
If your name is Demi, you're out. You can't sit with us.
Unless you're Demi Tebow, Tim Tebow's wife. I actually really like her. She's so cute.
I don't know her.
She's really cute.
I believe you.
So it's Sunday. God, we haven't recorded on a Sunday, which is supposed to be our new recording days in a while, but, yeah. We're just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Well, summers are hard, right? We travel a lot and yada yada. So
summers are fun. Summers are here, you know, until September.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yeah. It's hot as balls out.
It is hot.
Muggy AF.
Have I complained about summer? I really haven't. Mm-mm. This is probably the best summer that you've had with me not complaining.
Yeah. Although I guess it was like a United States record, a country record for the hottest month ever in July. I believe it.
I believe it too.
We were chilling on Satan's ball sack.
We sure 100%. Were. Licking that shit. It was very warm. Yeah. I didn't complain. Mm-mm. I spent time outside a little bit.
Your dog complained. So he
it the just dog turned, complained.
Her dog hates the summer, y'all.
Yeah, they're just like me. They come outside and they're like, God. Oh, hell no. They shit, they piss, they want to go back inside. Uh-huh. So we have not taken any walks with Brooks, who is now, he just turned 14 weeks, and he is 38 pounds.
Yeah, he's going to be a hoss.
38 pounds. I took him to the vet on Monday, and the vet was like, he's gonna be a big boy.
Like, he is a big boy.
I said, yeah. And she was like, are you sure that his birthday is right? I said,
think so.
Sure is. Sure is. We figured out, we did like the math, he's gaining like a little less than half a pound a day.
A day?
Yeah. Between like visits, between the two vet visits. I was like,
dang.
Okay. But
did they stop growing it like a year? Is that right?
Well, no. So big breeds, they're really not fully grown and done developing until two.
What?
Yeah. So
he's gonna be the size of like a car, a Hyundai.
So the general Elantra. A whole
accent.
Ass, yeah.
Probably
a whole
accent.
Whole ass sedan. The general rule, which obviously this isn't always the case, but you can take whatever they weigh at 16 weeks and double it. And that's usually their approximate like adult weight. So like the growth,
he might be like 80 pounds.
The growth slows significantly. Got it. As of right now, he would be like 80 pounds, but we still have two more weeks.
Mm, and if he's,
so I'm guessing about 90 ish is probably what he'll be full grown. But we honestly thought Finley was going to be the same because he wasn't too much smaller at this age.
Oh, really?
He grew a shitload in his first 6 months and then really tapered off. Finley's like 67 pounds, which is actually really little for a male.
I was going to say, yeah, he doesn't seem.
He's
like a fluff.
Pretty small, yeah. You know, and he was so much bigger as a puppy than Eli, who was my first golden. So funny,
yeah.
And Eli was like 85 pounds as an adult.
So,
which, have you seen that moon phase filter on TikTok? Well, maybe this is why I had the dream I had last night, because it sent me into like a full spiral before I went to bed. So this moon filter, you're supposed to put in like two birthdays and it syncs up the moons from those dates. Okay. And so if they're the same, you're soulmates. I did Robbie and I did all three dogs. Eli and I were a perfect soulmate match. And I said, well, that tracks because I call him my soulmate all the time.
Wait, how do I do the filter? It's just on the TikTok.
I'll show you. Yeah, it's just a filter on TikTok.
Oh, I'm going to do it when we get off of this thing.
So Robbie and I were close.
Well, that's good.
And then he was like,
otherwise, can you imagine being in a divorce court and you're like, listen, our TikTok moon phase did not match up.
He was like, so are we soulmates too? I said, no, babe. Eli's my only soulmate.
You're not it. So sorry.
I said, that wasn't anything you didn't already know. But I was like, wow, that like, it brought me like this weird sense of peace.
Yeah.
Because still I was like,
together.
Yeah, I was like, I always knew we were soulmates. And I was right. Anyways, it's kind of a cool filter, but Brooks and I, polar opposites, which totally tracks.
Really?
Not my soulmate. This little devil dog, he's something else. He actually, personality-wise, is very similar to Eli, though. Could not give a rat's ass about other dogs. Loves people. He's obsessed with Finley because that's his brother.
Right.
But like when he's met other dogs, even when we brought him here, he really wasn't too interested in playing with your dogs. Mm-mm. He just wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
He met the neighbor dog the other day.
Nice.
She was obsessed with him. He like did the initial greeting and then was like, I'm good. Bye. And went and sniffed.
Nice to meet you.
And that's exactly how Eli was.
My house is burning down. I'm going to need you to pee on it. But otherwise, yeah. Keep your distance. I'll keep mine.
Anyways, it's kind of a cool filter. But so, you know, I determined that Eli was my soulmate. Sent me into a spiral. I cried. I missed him. And that's it.
That's what happens, though. I texted you last week. I found a picture of Bailey. I was not even looking for it. Just, oh my God, I still cry over
sometimes
my dogs.
That stuff just, it hits you. Like, I can look at pictures of him. I can talk about him and be totally fine. And then something will happen and I'm like, fuck.
Yes,
and
every time. Me into a I know. Spin. I, whenever clients ask me anything about, like, their dogs or putting their, I cry about it every time. Like, I hate it so much, but.
Somebody, yeah. I was reading something. Was I reading it or did I hear it on like a video or something? So I think it might have actually been a video, but it was someone who does like in-home euthanasia. And she was talking about how like people minimize the grief of losing pets because it's a pet, right? And so we compare it to like losing a person, and in our heads, it's like we almost tell ourselves that it's not more valid. And she was like, I can tell you from my personal experience, and I can tell you from talking to like so many of my patients' families, they grieve harder for losing a pet than they do people in their life. Because the relationships, obviously that's not the case always.
Yeah.
But for many people, the relationship that you have with people is complicated, right? There's always
little nuances.
There's just
anger.
Always nuances to the relationships. You never have that with an animal.
No, they just love you.
It's pure and good, and there's no conflict, and it's not like that with people. And so it is a harder loss for a lot of people because of that. And I was like, that is actually like so validating. Yeah, it's really
interesting. Yeah, I think it depends on the person and the relationship, obviously.
Of course. But I mean, there
are. A client was telling me the other day she lost her husband unexpectedly when he was 32.
Oh my God.
And she was pregnant. She gave birth 2 days later with their second.
That makes me sick to my stomach.
But she was telling me when she was in therapy, she was like, you know, I obviously miss my husband, but she's like, but I also know when I'm in these groups, when people are talking about losing their kids, she's like, it's so much worse because of kind of what you're saying, the same thing with like a person to their child, a person to their dog.
Love.
It's so pure because it's like literally your child versus like a spouse. Like sometimes, you know, people are going to hurt you. There's going to be like just the things that complicate that relationship. Of course you love that person, but she's like, you know, I'm glad it was that way sometimes and not the other because there was a lot of things that happened with her body. Like she just really, it just was this whole conversation we had and I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't think I'd ever be the same if I lost my kid. Whereas like losing my dad, yes, it was very hard and sad and I've never lost a parent before and losing two dogs, like also very sad, but I think my kid would top everything. I really do because that is your... That is literally a part of you. Like, it's actually quite literally part of you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Mm. And I don't want to ever.
Nope.
And Fisher told me the other day that he hopes I don't die.
Who do you think you are, me?
I know. He hopes I don't die anytime soon. And that I hope I live to be really old. I was like, yeah.
I mean, samesies. What comes along with summer? Sweat, dehydration, all those things.
Not pumpkins.
Certainly not pumpkins, but we've got what you need to beat the heat, and that's Liquid IV. Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier is a great-tasting daily electrolyte drink mix that utilizes the breakthrough science of cellular transport technology to deliver hydration to your bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone. When I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world when I'm feeling really parched. Mm-hmm. You know, when you just, you're thirsty,
you
and it's like no matter how much water you drink, you don't feel quenched.
Yeah.
A Liquid IV changes that completely for me.
Yeah. You know what I've been doing lately is I'm going to make a reel for our Instagram, make a popsicle. And that way your kids can have them, right? It's so good. You can kind of dilute it a little bit more than the normal.
I do that for the dogs with bone broth because it's got electrolytes for them. So that totally makes sense. I love that. Favorite flavors for me, strawberry and grape, slap every time. Love them.
Watermelon, strawberry, but the sugar-free ones, I've been drinking those the most. Mm-hmm. I love those.
So, and as a bonus, it has finally happened. the sugar-free. We've been asking for it literally for years because that's the number one complaint, is that people love the benefits of Liquid IV, but they want something without the sugar. And it's finally here. They've perfected the formulation, kept up the efficacy standards, and now it's available in white peach, which is delicious. Even Robbie, who does not like Liquid IV, he's just a weird, it's the back end flavor for him. He's just very particular. He really enjoyed the white peach, lemon lime, and green grape, which is my personal favorite. It's set to be your favorite bevy of the summer and beyond.
Liquid IV has given our listeners 20% off when you use code FAMOUS at checkout. Place your order at liquidiv.com and use code FAMOUS to get 20% off.
Okay, so while we're on the, let's just shift.
Okay.
Because.
Yeah, let's do it.
On the topic of living forever.
Okay.
I told Robbie.
I was about to say, you got some potion I can drink?
No, but I told Robbie, if the aliens are here and they can give me eternal life, beam me up. Take me away right now. Have you heard about this? The aliens are here. There was a congressional hearing. What do you think? As a religious person.
Oh my God. Swear to God. Last night I Googled, do Christians
believe in aliens?
Yes, I did. And if y'all even right now are rolling your eyes, how do I look at my Google search? I can't even. Anyway, yes, I did. I was trying to like biblically see, swear to God, last night I'm down this freaking rabbit hole.
Dear Jesus, do I believe in aliens?
No, I said biblically, do Christians believe in aliens?
The answer is no,
it's so
right?
It's gotta hard. Be no. Well, it's so hard because it's like when, you know, you read some stuff, it's like when God said he created the heavens and the earth, he didn't specify and da, da, da. I actually was just going to ask my uncle, who is a preacher. I always ask him for everything. I'm like, do we believe in this? Hey, do we
believe in this? I love that for you.
I really do. Or I'll ask my mom. She's like, well, let me ask. But I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. And this is going to make it sound like I can't think for myself.
No, it doesn't. But because this goes against if you're...
But it's what you're taught, right?
Right.
And that's what I was struggling with last night. I even asked Mike, I said, what the hell? What is this alien?
Do we believe in
with
aliens?
What's this alien stuff going on? I'm going to need you to give me the rundown real quick. But when I was thinking about it, it really did cross my mind. I was like, God... It's not that I don't want to be able to think for myself, but it's also that goes in hand, you know, when you're a Christian, you believe things that you're taught and the reasoning behind what you're taught, you know, and sure. So on and so forth. And I'm not a master Christian. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like I try to be a good one, but I try to know the Bible, but I don't know it in and out to that degree. Yeah. Right. So yeah. I don't know. And I hate that I don't know, but I really was going to ask my uncle just to kind of see biblically like, what he would think it was.
So, okay. So that conflict, like when I try to describe like my like issues with religion, what I believe in and trying to figure that out, because mm-hmm. I really think that I will live my whole life and never truly know what I believe in. Mm-hmm. I just don't, because I have a very lot, like not that people that believe, not that Christians and people that believe in religious ideologies aren't rational or logical. That's just the word I'm
but you're using. Right. No, it's really not logical. You can't think of everything logically as a Christian. It's faith, right? Like that's where your faith comes in. So yeah,
I have that side of my brain is very strong, right? Mm-hmm. I look at things matter-of-factly and logically. Yes. And it's like I can't wrap my head.
It's gotta make sense or it's hard to believe,
right?
Yeah.
So that's why I think I will forever be in like a limbo. That being said, I believe in ghosts. I believe in my experiences with supernatural things that I have had. Those are my experiences. Yeah. You cannot convince me that I have not experienced what I've experienced.
Absolutely. And if you've experienced it and you know it happened, there is no explaining that.
Right.
I mean, it happened.
I can't explain how it happened. Right. I can't explain any of that. I just know it happened. Yeah. You can't convince me otherwise. I have always believed in aliens. You are talking, Robbie and I were having this conversation. He was like, you are such a fucking enigma. Like, I can't figure you out. Because I have always been obsessed with aliens and the concept of them. Like, was obsessed with UFOs and things like that as a kid. My password for probably the first 20 years of my life for everything was Area 51. Only very recently, and don't try and hack any of my shit because I don't use that anymore.
She changed it, y'all.
But literally, Area 51 for everything for many, many years. Really funny. It was my brother's password too. Okay. So hopefully he's changed it.
Tyler.
But yeah, so like obsessed. And so I'm like, it's so validating.
Yeah.
And then Robbie's like, you are obsessed with aliens, but you can't even talk about outer space because it sends you into an existential panic attack. I said, I know it makes no sense.
Okay, cheese, but I love a Cheez-It and a goldfish and a Dorito.
And a pizza.
You know, I just want to be complicated.
Yeah,
you know, we just want to be complicated.
I can't talk about outer space and I can't talk about history because I will have a panic attack. I've had it since that existential anxiety. I've had it since I was literally 4 years old. I can't explain it.
Like, it's so hard for me to believe.
But
like,
I love it. That the idea of aliens. And I truly believe what we heard in that congressional hearing, as little as it was, is fact.
Uh-huh.
Robbie's convinced that it's all smoke and mirrors and they're trying to distract us from something else. Uh-huh. And while that very well may be the case, I would like to continue to believe that we finally got confirmation from our government that the aliens have been here and are here currently, so they say.
I mean, no. I don't know. First of all, when I think of aliens, it's so hard for me to believe that there's like aliens on like Mars or whatever. Second of all, aliens seem so sticky to me. Like, they just seem like if you touch them, they'd be like gooey and sticky.
I wasn't sure if you meant sticky, like difficult or actually tacky. Both.
They seem real, real sticky. They seem real messy in more ways than one. Like, they would leave a snail trail, in my opinion.
That's so fucking gross to
it
think about.
It is so gross, but they just seem like that. Little balls on their fingers and stuff, and they're
I'm in. Listen, but you also, give me eternal life, you can slippity slime all over me.
Ew.
I'm good.
No way.
I want to live forever.
But I don't know. I just don't know. I was not prepared for this today. Why'd you even?
You don't even understand. I didn't even text you about this because I was dying to talk about it on the show.
Right. And I just feel like there's so much weird shit that goes on now in the media that I'm like, what are y'all even doing? You're just trying to confuse everybody and it worked. Cause I don't even know.
But here's the thing.
At this point,
nobody's talking about this. Like, literally, like, nobody cares. Outside, if people are not on TikTok, they have not heard
because
of this.
There's more to life than freaking TikTok.
But I'm just saying, like, they're not talking about it on the news. They're not talking.
Well,
like,
that's not
people aren't talking about it.
Mainstream media is like bogus anyways. Like, they're so full of crap. They just tell you what they want you to, whatever.
I'm just saying, like, I really need this. Like, my soul needs to believe that there's aliens.
Where are these aliens living right now? Where were they seen? Like, in Washington? Duh.
Hold on. I'm looking up.
Yeah. I need to know where they're at.
Synopsis.
And I need to see a picture. Do they have pictures of these aliens? A photo evidence?
Hold on. Well, the whistleblower that was in the congressional hearing, they kept asking him questions and he said, I can answer that in closed chambers. I can't answer that in a public
what
setting.
What do you swear him to secrecy? He's like besties with the aliens. Well, just met him.
He was saying that he was essentially saying that he was whistleblowing the government, saying that the government has hurt people or worse.
Killed them.
Unalived them.
Right.
As cover-ups.
Right.
I don't know. Listen, I'm gonna need you to not belittle my beliefs.
I'm not belittling your beliefs. I like I said, it's just so it just seems so far-fetched. You believe what you want, girl.
Of course, it seems far-fetched.
You go drink your alien Kool-Aid and go live eternally with the aliens because that just don't seem appealing to me. However,
I need a bullet point list.
I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries, and maybe that's why I have trust issues, because them raunchy, raggedy ass 1980 videos that were all grainy that we couldn't even see. I don't know why I said raunchy, because that was not raunchy, but like raggedy and grainy that you could barely see anything. I'm like, that is literally a streetlight. Like, okay. Relax.
Okay, so here's the five. This is an article from NBC News.
Okay.
And it's
The
five most memorable moments from Congress's UFO hearing.
Okay.
So the first one is the U.S. government is absolutely in possession of UAPs.
What is that?
What does it stand for? The Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. I guess they're not really using the term UFO.
Oh.
UAP is like the new term.
All right.
You know, God forbid, just keep everything the same.
Okay, and also, why do they call aliens, like, intelligence? Other intelligence, or whatever they're calling it. Something intelligence. Are they supposed to be really smart because they have a big forehead?
Well,
that's judgy.
So one of the things that was discussed is that they were, and this is from, I don't know if this was formally said in the congressional hearing or this is somebody else that is connected to the project that they're talking about. I don't know.
Okay.
But somebody was saying that supposedly we've had communications with a non-biologic human and that their technology is like 50,000 years ahead of us. And so we can't even comprehend their technology.
I can't even comprehend them. This being real. Like, I'm see, this saying. Is, the, but this is where I lose like what you're saying with like the but,
and
like,
that's,
and yes. I'm like, I cannot even in my brain fathom that we have aliens like working on cell phones and stuff like 50 years advanced. Like what?
Yeah.
Do they look like the typical alien though? Or is it like a person?
No, I don't think anybody said that. I did hear that there is a version of an alternative life form that looks similar to like what we would know as a praying mantis. And I said, I'm gonna need it to be the same size as a praying mantis because otherwise that's fucking scary.
I can feel
the eye rolls in people's vehicles here, but I would just ask you to, you know, hear me out.
All right. We're hearing you. Go.
You know, you guys can talk about Jesus and these things that I struggle with.
It's not even like that. Like,
no, I know. It is unbelievable. It's fucking weird. And this is why I can't talk about outer space either, because people start talking about all the different galaxies and things like that. And it sends me into
because it's so big and it's like overwhelming. Like it's so overwhelming because it's so big.
Yeah. Well, and then it sends me into like my existential death spiral. And so that's just like a whole thing. Like, maybe I'll do a Patreon on that. You can, you know, I can walk you through my years of therapy that have gotten me nowhere. So the second thing is non-human biologics were found at a crash site. So Grush, I think is how you say his name, says who underscored that he has not personally spotted a UAP, told the panel that he knows multiple colleagues who were injured by UAPs. He also said he has interviewed individuals who have recovered non-human biologics from crashed UAPs. Grush says he prefers to use the term non-human rather than alien or extraterrestrial.
We don't want to offend the aliens.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just we can't identify it definitively as like an alien, but there's biologic material that doesn't belong to anything we know. Reasonably.
Dude, I bet it's sticky.
Would be
ask him.
It probably ask is Garouche. Sticky. It's probably tacky as hell.
Sludge.
Yeah, so he said, he described the nature of what he saw. He said, I have to be very careful here. What I personally witnessed myself and my wife was very disturbing. The third thing, officials must establish a, quote, safe and transparent reporting process. He said, some lawmakers and witnesses pushed the federal government to establish clear channels to communicate UAP information with both the public and the military should establish a comprehensive reporting process for unidentified object sightings. Ryan Graves, a former Navy pilot, told the panel that military pilots do not feel adequately briefed on UAPs, which he said leaves them unprepared to respond, and they do encounter them. The former Navy pilot claimed that commercial airline pilots have spotted UAPs. There has to be a safe and transparent reporting process for pilots, both on the commercial side and the military side, to be able to report UAPs.
But do we have photos of this, though? We have photo evidence?
So he says yes, but not anything that's been released to the public. So that's the other thing people are, like, I think was a point of discussion in the congressional hearing is like, there should be more transparency with the public if we have this.
Yeah.
And they're saying that.
So why aren't they showing the public like just the
probably
photos?
The same reason they've been keeping it quiet. They said the first known like crash or sighting or acquisition of something foreign was back in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And like Area 51's a real thing. Supposedly they had an alien locked away who communicated with us for many years before they died.
The alien died?
Yes.
I thought aliens didn't die.
No, that's just me, I think.
Oh, I was like, what?
In my head, they get to live forever. I mean,
right now, my brain is just picturing Will Smith. Here come the men in black.
That was such a great movie. I would watch that. That was
a good soundtrack.
Yeah, it was. Okay, the fourth thing, stigma associated with sightings silences possible witnesses. Some witnesses and lawmakers at the hearing argued that the stigma associated with reporting UFO sightings, as well as the alleged harassment of those who work to investigate them, may be hindering efforts to determine their origins. Graves told the panel that stigma silences pilots who fear professional repercussions, which he said is compounded by recent government claims questioning the credibility of eyewitness testimony. The Federal Aviation Administration has no mechanism for pilots to report UAPs and instead directs them to civilian groups that are often dismissed as the domain of cranks and conspiracy theorists. Those institutional hurdles led Graves to form a first-of-its-kind group that pushes for policy changes, serves as a hub for pilot whistleblowers, and advocates for more disclosure by the military and other government agencies. And then the fifth thing was a UFO spotted accelerating to supersonic speeds. David Fravor, a former Navy commander, said he and three fellow military pilots spotted a white tic-tac-shaped object in 2004 hovering below their jets and just above the Pacific Ocean. As he descended to inspect the sighting, he claimed the unidentified aircraft, which he said bore no visible rotors, wings, or exhaust, began to ascend and approach his fighter jet. He claimed that the UAP then vanished, only to reappear a few seconds later, but this time it was spotted 60 miles away. Fravor told the committee that the technology he and his team encountered defies logical explanation. The technology that we faced is far superior to anything that we have had, and there is nothing we can do about it. Nothing. So I think, obviously, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Because our government is so corrupt. Where's the other governments? This isn't just happening in the United States if it's real. It's happening all over the world. So, yeah. You know, just...
TBD.
TBD, alien tings, but, like, I'm excited. Listen, I just am. Let me have this. She's eye-rolling me so hard.
I feel like if there's an alien, you better get them on as a guest on this podcast, and we'll record somewhere else, not in my house, because I ain't cleaning that snail trail out of my floor. But
if they're listening, like, come to my home. I'll let you probe me, whatever you want. Like, I need to know more, but don't, like, hurt me. Like, I don't want to be hurt, you know?
No, duh. Like, God,
I'm a friend. I believe in you.
Like, I literally wanted to come in peace.
Yeah. Literally.
Loser.
Come in peace.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's just a lot for my brain. Okay.
It's a lot. And you know what? There's going to be people that are like, oh my God, I can't believe Spencer believes in aliens. Conspiracy theorist.
Oh my God.
Psycho.
There's going to be people that are rolling their eyeballs at me right now. Of course we can get you. Listen, you can't say that we're not divided on some stuff.
The yin to my yang, right?
Right.
Like, we can't be the same.
It takes all kinds of kinds. No, we have to be balanced. It takes all kinds of kinds to make the world go round. I just need to see pictures. Pictures where it didn't happen.
Yes, I am an evidence girly. I come in peace. I'm an evidence girly. Mm-hmm. I need proof.
And I don't want no BS Photoshop, Canva Pro, nothing. I need
AI images.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
We can make everything look like... We got people strawberry yum yum and making 10 grand for 10 hours. Like, I don't even know that a photo would make me believe it at this point, because everything looks so real. I mean, we got
everything. Yes, but not quite. What? So there's this AI app that can make AI images of yourself.
Okay.
And somebody was like, so people are using it to make headshots.
Yes, I've seen this.
Okay. Well, then
out here catfishing.
Now there's a trend, right, where people are like, I'll use it for my skinny inspo, because it apparently, like, won't make fat AI images. So I did a whole bunch of photos of myself. It is absolutely hysterical. Some of them actually look like me. I look black most of them. I look like I have am of mixed race.
Really?
It's hysterical. I'm going to have to show you these.
Yeah, you have to show
And then
me.
Others, I'm like,
I was too afraid.
Damn, girl,
it
looks just like me, and I look fucking stunning, and I'm like, okay, inspo. I'm going to just tape that to my refrigerator in my cupboards. I'll show you later.
Yeah,
it's called Remini.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I was going to download it the other day, but then I was afraid.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why I was afraid.
I'll show you while we're here.
But some of them
did not look like me, and it was funny. And you want to talk about aliens? They need some work on the hand technology for AI. I had alien fingers. I had some pictures. I had three hands.
Oh, dang.
It was really funny. But okay, hold on. While we're on the air, I'll let you flip through.
The crazy.
Okay, so start there and scan over.
While we're on the air.
There's tons.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, my God. Who is she?
Gorgeous. She's stunning.
Wait, these don't look like you at all.
Right. Wait, which one?
No, I was looking at that one when I said that.
Doesn't look like me.
Uh-uh.
But some of them do look like me.
That looks just like you to me.
Yes, I agree. Some of them look like me literally if I had a black parent. I look like Robin Dixon.
I want you to cut your hair like that again and do that swoop like that. That is so freaking cute.
I don't think I can cut my hair like that again.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, some of these look like you. I want to do this app.
Yeah, you can do a 3-day free trial. After that, it's like $10 a week. Just kind of crazy.
$10 a week?
A week, bitch. Goodbye. So,
with the blazer on.
Oh, I did all different ones. I was like, so what you do is you upload up to 12 photos. All
right.
And then it creates your AI character. And then it has like model inspo or like scene inspo. It's just like me.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then you pick your model. So I did a bunch of different ones. I'll have to share them to my stories. You guys can vote and tell me if you think that they actually look like me.
I want to do this. This is super cool.
I'm sure they're taking all of my data and, you know, farming it out, but whatever. It was fun.
There's aliens on Earth. It doesn't even matter at this point.
Literally.
Like, it does not matter.
Anyways, but yeah, there's a bunch. Like, looks just like me.
That's so cute.
Anyways. Okay. So, anything else that you want to talk about before we jump into some of these texts? We're going to get caught up on some of the hotline stuff that we realized we missed.
The hotline bling.
There was some that got buried. But
No, I don't have anything else to talk about. My mind is just trying to wrap around.
The aliens?
Well, we've had a crazy morning. It's 12:43 and I feel like we've really.
Yeah.
My brain has just been through it.
True. We've hit all different aspects of the emotional spectrum.
You know what, though? That's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing.
All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Ready for the spotlight, ladies? Okay. The first text. Hi, ladies. I have an Am I the Asshole? Writing this on Mother's Day, so you can tell how buried this is. We're very sorry. So my mom and I have had a pretty normal mother-daughter relationship, but I can't... Oh, wait. Oh, we did get to this one. Why was it saying we hadn't? This is the one, we did read this one. This is the one where her cousin had a baby and she felt like her mom was taking her cousin.
Yep.
I wonder why that. Okay. Well, hold on. We've got more. All right. Hey, y'all. I haven't pre-read any of these clearly. So, you know, hopefully they're not bad. Hey, y'all, I will try to make this as short and sweet as possible because it's slightly confusing. My sister and I have always been close until recently, life. I am 30, and until I met my current boyfriend, I was unsure if I'd have kids or not, but I have said since I was a kid that if I had a girl, her name would be, we'll use another name for identity reasons, Wendy Spencer. Everyone close to me knew this, and my sister even jokingly told my boyfriend at one point, I hope you love the name Wendy Spencer, because she's set on it, which he did. My sister is now pregnant with her second and wants to use the middle name Spencer. Obviously, whatever her actual middle name is.
Oh, I was like, wow.
It should be Spencer, though, because that is gorgeous, just saying.
Such a cute name.
She originally asked me if I would be okay with it, and when I said no, she said it was the only name that they could agree on. I've told her on multiple occasions how this hurts my feelings tremendously. It's more than just a name. It's just kind of inconsiderate to me. Her defense is that we can make it a, quote, family name, and I can use it too. Mind you, she used our grandmother's maiden name and our maiden name for her first kid, and that it's just a middle name, so why does it even matter? Lastly, she says since I'm not married and not having kids anytime soon, it's unfair to her, and she shouldn't have to pick another name. My boyfriend and I frequently talk about marriage and kids when we are ready. This has created a huge rift in our family because I can't get over it, and she doesn't seem to be changing her mind. Am I the asshole?
God, I feel like names all of us pregnant people get so petty when it comes to names. Names are tough. Family names are very tough.
I was just going to say, I think it's hard when you grow, especially if you've had this name forever, right? So it represents more than like, okay, it's the name you picked out for your future kid.
Mm-hmm.
It represents like the concept of family and like the ideology of meeting someone. And
right.
You know, I think it's like, there's an emotional component for you to this name more so than you just picked out the name because you really liked it or because it belonged to another family member.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's that emotional tie to it. I don't think what she's suggesting for the middle names being like a family name, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah.
But I also don't think she's got the right to totally dismiss your feelings either. If right. it is, as she's putting it, just a middle name, she should be able to respect your feelings on it and pick a different middle name. We're not talking a first name. We're talking a middle
name.
Can
they both use the name?
Well, that's what the sister is suggesting.
Yeah.
That they both use the middle name and make it like a family thing, which I think is totally fine. And I think it's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. A first name is different to me. Like, I think if she was insisting on using the first name or she was insisting on using the combo of the first and middle right. name, that would be probably a little
oh my God.
Different.
My brother's son's middle name is Fisher. Yeah. It's Lane Fisher and last name. And then Fisher's name is Fisher Knox. So it's one of us got mad at the other.
Yeah. I don't think you're being the asshole, but I don't think she's the asshole either necessarily.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of.
Names are just hard, especially like you said, if it's a family tie to it or like a special meaning or I mean. At the end of the day, you both have to agree or you don't.
Yeah.
And just go forward with your name. And guess what?
Yeah, just name your kid. Your kids are not going to care that they have the same middle name.
No.
They're going to assume maybe it was an intentional thing that like connected them.
But it can be intentional. It doesn't have to be this whole like hoopla, right? Like who cares?
Right. But also like, I don't know if it's an androgynous name, but what if you don't even have a kid that's that gender? You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of variables there. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't allow it to come between you and your sister. I think that, you know, your feelings are valid, but her wanting to use the name, you know, look at it this way. Shift your perspective. Maybe she loves the name so much because you love it. And she loves you because you're her sister. I don't know if that's facts. Maybe you guys are like sister enemies, but I think that's a beautiful sentiment. And I think that's what you should lean into.
Yep. Name the kids and live happily ever after.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Do what you want to do. Just because she uses the middle name doesn't mean you can't use the middle name.
Say what you want to say.
All right.
Say what you want to say.
Ready for the next one?
Yes.
All right. Am I the asshole? I love Am I the Assholes. Okay. I have a childhood friend who recently asked me to be in her wedding and I said no. Here's the backstory. In the past 3 years, we have talked and or hung out maybe 3 times. She bailed on my baby shower and has yet to meet my baby, who I had in 2021. Mind you, we live in a small town and she lives less than 10 minutes from me. Okay, I can already tell you my thoughts. When I was pregnant in 2021, I asked her to constantly hang out and she continually bailed on me. This isn't anything new. It's been a constant cycle and I feel like I'm the only one trying and I finally just had enough and had to let go of that friendship. So I was shocked when she asked me. I didn't just say no either. I explained how I was feeling and she said she understood where I was coming from. Am I the asshole? No. And I think the fact that she told you she understood where you were coming from is she knew damn good and well that there was no friendship there. She was probably asking you either one out of obligation, like a feeling of obligation, yeah. like because of the friendship you guys once had, or two, she just doesn't have anybody to fucking ask outside of you. But like weddings are fucking weird. First of all, wedding parties, antiquated, they're done. Like even wedding planners and they're telling people like nobody's doing wedding parties anymore. Like it's not necessary. It's not a thing. You know, the days of having every fucking girl you've ever had a friendship with stand up for you at your wedding. They're done. They're done.
Yeah, it's so much. And we've talked about weddings before actually about how people get butthurt or they're so expensive for everybody involved. Like it gets so cutthroat and then it takes the joy out of the wedding. Just go to the wedding, have a party and do you like have fun.
You can still do all the other things. You can still have a bachelorette and invite your girlfriend.
But then you can invite anybody you want. There's no one party involved or having to do one thing. But that's like people saying no offense and they're going to hit you with something super offensive. If you got to say no offense,
right.
then I'm going to already get my guard up and take some offense to what you're about to say.
Exactly. Just because you said no offense doesn't make it better.
No.
But yeah, I think that like there's your close friends, the ones that are your true friends that are really there for you. They're the ones that are still going to help you on your wedding day right. and do all these things. But like the wedding party idea, the concept, it's antiquated. And like if I were to ever get married again, mm-hmm. I would not be having a wedding party. Yeah. Elaine and I were talking about this when she was here because obviously like marriage, wedding, whatever is like in her future with Uwa.
Yeah.
And I said, would you have bridesmaids? And she was like, absolutely not. She was like, I don't want that. Yeah. She was like, I want it to be him and me and like,
yeah,
don't need that to be a thing.
Yeah.
And it really is like, that's the trend, the days of, you know, 15,000 people. But no, I don't think you're the asshole. I think actually you did the kind thing by just being honest with her and telling her how you were feeling. And it like had to give both of you a little closure to the relationship, right? Like took the pressure off. She didn't feel like obligated to have you be a part of it. And you don't feel obligated to like fake the funk.
Right. Exactly. And I feel like everybody's been in that situation and it's just so much better when you don't even have to put yourself in a situation that you know that is going to be like stressful. You got to be fake, whatever. Ship has sailed.
Yep. This text just says, wait, y'all are based in North Carolina? I'm going to respond, yes, ma'am.
Raise up.
Okay, I just responded. All right. Okay. Am I the asshole for calling the cop/dog control officer on a family friend? My cousins and extended family are pissed that I burned this bridge. They didn't get their dog spayed, so naturally she had unplanned puppies, and they do not take care of these puppies at all. They're outside 24/7 in a pen, now 13 weeks old, with no shots, and they are constantly texting to borrow money because they ran out of dog food. Their adult dogs run away two times. Hold on. You guys, I like cried so hard earlier that now I'm all congested. Don't listen. I'm going to blow my nose.
Okay.
And I'm not going to edit that out. You're welcome. Okay. Take two. So they're outside 24/7 in a pen, now 13 weeks old with no shots, and they are constantly texting to borrow money because they ran out of dog food. Their adult dogs run away two times a week. I finally got sick of it and called the DCO, and they're being charged with animal cruelty, and my family thinks I handled this poorly. Am I the asshole? Absolutely fucking not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Also, people that don't... and. I know people feel some kind of way about either side of this. People that just don't spay or neuter your dogs, knowing that they're going to be in situations like that, I will never understand.
No.
Stop letting your dogs keep having kids. Stop letting your damn dog quit having kids. No, stop letting your dogs keep having puppies or kittens. Like, kittens is always a thing. I'm always
Their gestational period is so short. They fuck like crazy. They go into heat over and over and over, whereas like a dog is only going to go into heat like a couple times a year. Anyways, right. Here's the, like, you know, the spaying and neutering conversation is definitely nuanced. The old adage, you know, that we still hear from so many vets that they need to be spayed and neutered by 6 months or around 6 months. It's absolutely not based in any kind of data or science. You guys can listen to me because I know what I'm talking about here. The data shows us, the studies, the research shows us that they are healthier if they're left intact. Especially for females that are spayed before they are two, but anytime in their lifetime, but particularly before two, their risk of like mammary cancer and endocrine issues mm-hmm. goes up like 80%. So I am of the mindset that based on the science, if you are a responsible pet owner and can leave your pets intact, they will be healthier long term because of it. I would venture to say 4 out of 5 pet owners aren't responsible enough for that to be the case. And you should get your pet spayed and neutered. You shouldn't do it at 6 months. You should do it when they're two, but you should still fucking do it and be responsible in those first 2 years. Like, no, people right. are assholes. The shelters are overrun. They're like, nobody has any money. Nobody can help. I mean, there's feral cat colonies everywhere because everybody is overloaded. I know right. this isn't the whole topic of this, am I the asshole? That was just my personal rant.
But no, you're not the asshole.
But you're not the asshole. One, you know, obviously, yes, they did the irresponsible thing. They allowed their dog to, you know, get pregnant with an accidental litter. And that's just incredibly irresponsible. But then to not care for the puppies and the babies, not okay, not acceptable. They obviously cannot financially afford to have any pets, much less a whole boatload of them. So no, I think you did the right thing, because if you are a human being and you can't have compassion for the welfare of animals, you're trash.
Bags.
So I hate to say it, your family's trash.
Your family's trash.
Your family's trash. Okay, moving on. Wow, that really got my blood boiling. That pissed me off. Okay, where did it go? Where did you go?
Where did you go? I miss you so. Seems like it's been forever.
Google's having a heart attack. Okay, we're back. So
why is Google having a heart attack?
I don't know.
Looking at them UFOs.
Yeah.
Instead of them AFOs.
The aliens have invaded my phone. All right, last one to catch up and then we're all caught up. Hey girls, I really need your advice on something. It's kind of long, so I apologize. My sister has, there's lots of sister issues, man.
I don't got one, so I don't know.
I have half sisters and we have issues, so there you go. My sister has always been manipulative of people and talks about how wrong they, okay, take two. This one needs a little hooked on phonics, I don't know. Hey girls. Have you ever seen the show Two Broke Girls?
Yes, I love that show.
Okay, Jennifer Coolidge, mm-hmm. Her character. Hey, girls. That's what I just reminded myself of. Okay.
All right, we have we have another one too, though.
Oh, shit. Okay, so we'll do this one, then we'll do that one. Mm-hmm. We're just giving you all the things today. Long episode. I really need your advice on something. It's kind of long, so I apologize. My sister has always been manipulative of people and talks about how wrong they do them, do her, about, she said, and talks about how wrong they do, but never goes with her mistakes. Eye roll emoji. She hangs out with these girls that are the same way. My childhood best friend's first crush was dating one of these girls for almost 3 years. They broke up in February. However, they do still see each other due to mutual friends, and I believe she wants to get back with him, but he doesn't want her. I want to ask him out, as I have feelings for him now, and finally have the chance. Timing was never right before we were in other relationships, moved far away, etc. I want to be in a relationship with him, but I don't want any of the negativity that comes with my sister and his ex knowing each other, because I know how they are. I really need to know how to handle the situation. P.S. Love the podcast episode. Listen every time.
Okay, wait, I'm confused.
Okay, so essentially this is, let me give you the synopsis, because yeah, it was a little wordy and confusing.
Yeah.
So her sister has had the same group of friends for many years.
Yep.
One of the girls used to date this guy. Now she has had long-term feelings for this guy. There's finally an opportunity for them.
It's her sister's friend's ex-boyfriend.
Correct.
Got it.
There's finally an opportunity for them to get together.
Yep.
But she doesn't want the drama that will come along with her sister's good friend being his ex.
Copy that.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your thoughts?
I feel like, depending on, because you know how some girls can be like real crazy, real catty, all the things. That's one thing. If you're willing to take that on, if he seems like, if you feel that strongly about the relationship, yeah, or that potential, by all means, sister, go for it, whatever.
I think her concern, just to pop in, because, and I'm sure this is why she noted it, mm-hmm, that her sister's very manipulative and
Right.
And the friends are the same way. And so I think that is where the concern is because they're kind of vindictive and manipulative.
Okay, sentiment still stands then. If it's worth it and you think that there's potential with this guy long term, that it could really be a thing and it's worth fighting for, go for it.
Yeah.
If it's not, and that return on that investment is not going to be there and it's just going to be like this casual 2-year thing or whatever, it's not going to go anywhere lifelong, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's just a headache.
If it's not worth the effort, then don't. And also I would find out really, truly, like, where his head is at.
Yeah.
Because if you're
have they talked and like, does she know? Like,
that's what I don't know. It's like, if you know for sure he is strongly interested in you, this is like long time, you know, mm-hmm, unfulfilled feelings or interest or whatever,
right?
Then that's one thing. If it's like a lusty thing, like you've always just thought he was hot, but like you don't know where you're at, like on a compatibility level, like maybe explore it without really like announcing it to people and take your time to get to know like what your compatibility would be. I'm just picturing the,
don't do it, girl. I'm not going to do it. I did it.
I did
it. With the engagement ring.
Yeah. I think you got to feel it out. And also like it depends on where he's at or what conversations you guys have had. If you guys have had conversations about your feelings for one another and you both see it as like a potentially long-term thing and are just holding back because you're worried about this, then I think that's kind of silly. Just go for it.
Yeah. If it ain't going to be worth it long-term.
Keep your business private and go for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We're in the business of not creating headaches for nothing. Yeah. But it ain't worth it. Me personally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't doing it.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. We have another one. We have one more. That was a false alarm. All right. Hi, ladies. Here's my dilemma. We were recently with some family friends, including several teenage children. I overheard one of the boys, who is very close to our family, talking about a girl who had been sending him promiscuous Snapchats and telling him she had had a special talent, referring to giving blowjobs. The kicker. The girl he was talking about is my best friend's daughter, and she's only 14, and he is 16.
Ooh.
Her mom has been one of my best friends since childhood, so I've known this little girl her entire life. My friend and her husband would be furious if they knew she was sending messages like this to a boy. I know we live in the same time, or I know we live in a time where it's hard to prevent children from eventually doing things like this, thanks to social media, but still, I'm torn on what to do. Do I say anything to my best friend, or do I just let it go? Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Okay. One, her blowies ain't shit. She's only 14. Just saying.
Hey, you never know. These little girls these days are real grown.
I'm just saying.
I mean, their eyeliners are snatched. That's true. They know all the things. They are like equivalent to 28-year-olds.
I mean, I'm pretty sure even I was nasty. 15 before I gave my first blowie.
Wow.
I know.
You go, girl.
In the back seat. Actually, as a front seat of a car, but that's a whole other conversation.
It's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Okay. So I think that... Well, hopefully your friend can be rational and not get her, let her emotions get the best of her. If it were me, I'm just putting myself in the parent's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I would want my friend to tell me.
Yeah.
Because I would want to know what kind of conversation I need to have for my daughter or with my daughter so that she can... respect herself, respect her body. And if she is going to do things, that she has the information and the tools to do it in a safe manner. I have
the tools.
I would be, well, listen, I would, my take is that I would rather be like, I hate the term, but a sex positive household and build that trust with my child so that they know they can come to me with questions or concerns. Like I would rather set,
lay if you don't do it, somebody else will.
Right. I would rather lay the foundation for that kind of relationship.
Right.
And of course, like until your kids know that that's a safe space and they can come to you for conversations, they're not going to come to you. So I would rather have the information and have it come from my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, I just want you to know, you know, this is, I saw this happen. Do with the information what you will. I just want you to have it.
No, I agree with that. And I would want my friend to tell me too. And if I were the friend, I would probably tell my friend too. Just because, like you said, if you're not giving your kid that information, they're going to find it somewhere. And I always have said, like with Fisher.
Or they're just not going to have the information they need. And then you're going to end up.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Situation. They're going to get some information from something somewhere. And it may not be the best, you know. And
it may be a positive pregnancy test.
That's right. That could be the information that they got. But I mean, I've always said I want to be in charge of as much as I can, the exposure to what Fisher has, like the information that he's getting. That being said, that's why I think it is scary for parents when they turn their kids loose to school or whatever, because depending on who they're around on the bus, whatever, they do get exposed to certain conversations and you do need to be on the forefront of that versus being reactive to something that happens, you know, something not good.
Yeah. I'm
with you on that.
I don't think you need to go into like the detail, like her bragging about her blowjobs and things like that. But you can just say like, hey, you know, this was the situation. I saw what was she say? She saw a text. She like
overheard.
Oh, she overheard it. That's all she has to say. I overheard that, you know, this situation is coming around that, you know, she was telling so-and-so that she's sexually active. I don't know if you know. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you heard it from me. Because also, imagine if she somehow were to find out that you knew that, you overheard that and had that information and didn't share it with her.
Yeah. And I think everybody knows their friendships the best. So, like, I can think of friends right now that I could be like, oh my gosh, girl, I just need to let you know. Like, I overheard this and I wanted to bring it to your attention. And then I think I have other friends that you'd have to delicately say, listen, I know that this is going to be hard. Like, I can think of people.
It's going to be different, upsetting.
Yeah. So depending on how you have that dialogue with your friend, do it that way. Because I feel like if it's not said in the right text or tone, it could come across and that person can get very defensive and they could be like, oh God, well, what are people saying? And how is it? You know, I would never want someone to feel that, because I wouldn't want to feel
or
that
way. Or thinking that like
people are talking about them.
Yeah. You heard it and you're judging her daughter and like what. So I completely agree with what you're saying, but that's, you know your friendship and you know what that dynamic is and how they are personally. If they are somebody that's explosive or jumps to conclusions, then you need to adjust how you tell them, but I would tell them.
Yeah, same. There's a rumor going round about your little boo blowing up the boy in town.
When was your first blowy?
God, I really do not know.
You don't remember?
No.
Mine was for this kid named Miles, who was a couple years older than me, and I can't remember. I think he went to, remember how we were talking about how like my schools were split up? We had like, it was such a big like area. Mm-hmm. We had multiple like schools in our district or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure he went to the other one if I remember correctly. But I met him at a party and I said, hey, let's go to your car. And we were just making out. And then I decided to give him a blowy. And then he told everybody. Everybody in my school knew. Everybody in his school knew. And all the older girls were like, me, 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 like gossiping when they'd see me in the hall.
And all the guys were like, hey, girl, what's up?
I didn't give a fuck. I was like, that's right. You mad because you didn't? Okay.
You're like, smell my breath. It's your boyfriend.
Smell my breath. Yeah, he got real popular after that.
He did?
So did I.
I was going to say he did.
Well, I was already popular.
Why did he get popular after that? Why did he get popular for getting a blowjob?
Because I think it was like, oh my God, like you got this girl to give you, like, I don't know if it was like a thing. Wow. It probably was. I don't know. But nobody talked about him before and then they talked about him after.
Bet you they did. Because there's a rumor going around. Wow. Yeah.
My first kiss was in a hayloft in a barn.
No way.
Yeah.
Hayloft. That reminds me of like a Nicholas Sparks movie, you know, just sitting there and like, they're like, hey, do you want to go sit up here and talk for a minute? And you're like, yeah, sure.
Oh my God.
You go up there and you're like, so, and like swat the fly every now and
then.
I
loved him so much. I mean, I didn't actually love him. I was just like, I just had such a crush on him and I was easily a foot taller than him. But I was a foot taller than most of them.
Fine.
So
you had to look up to me. Like, look up to me when I'm talking to you, boy.
There's like photos of me in middle school. And oh my God, I'm like, did he have to get on his tiptoes
when he kissed you, or did y'all sit down?
We were sitting.
Okay, because that'd be super awkward. I'd be like, you know what? We're good. I don't even want to kiss you. If you're having to get on your tiptoes, Jim, we're good.
No, we were sitting. Most of my first kisses were sitting.
Okay, because you really I was have so one much first kiss.
Well,
so.
I mean, like. You know,
with that person,
my early kisses were sitting because I was so much taller than all the boys. So
never had that problem.
Yeah, I know.
I was always the short girl.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. So you could be 5'6" and your confidence would be through the roof because you were taller than me. And I was like, relax, Charles. I'm 4'11". Of course you're taller than I am. So is a golden retriever when they're standing on their back legs. Oh, you ain't shit.
So true.
Oh God.
All right, guys. I'm hungry. This has been fun. Yeah. We're ready for lunch.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Basically Famous, available on YouTube and anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us some words of affirmation. And don't forget to call or text the hotline at 919-867-6776 for your chance to be basically famous.
XOXO.
Stop.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.